Hey, Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel in Kedushin. Yesterday we got down to about 12 lines down on the page. Echad Ger ve'echad Eved Meshuchar b'chalal mutar b'kahanis. We have a rule that a Kohen cannot marry a Gioris or a Chalala or a Shifcha, because she's also like a Zona. But the opposite is not true. A Ger or an Eved Meshuchar or a Chalal could marry a Bas Kohen. A Kahanis means a Bas Kohen. Messiah L'Rav, L'Rav, Dhamma B'Yana B'Rav, Lo Uzer K'sheris L'Nasim P'sulim. K'sheris meaning kosher, young Kohan, Bas Kohanim are allowed to marry P'sulim, where the reverse is not true. In other words, they can marry a Chalal or a Ger or an Eved Meshuchar, whereas a Kohen cannot marry the equivalent in a female. However, Rashi points out that a Pusul, like a Mamzer, they can't marry either way. Like, right? A Mamzer can't marry a Bas Kohen, neither can a Bas Kohen. Just like a Kohen can't marry a Mamzeris, a Mamzer can't marry a Bas Kohen. Darsh Rav Zera Mechuza, Rav Zera Darshan in the town of Mechuza, Ger Mutar Mamzeris. A Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeris. That's like we were passing that yesterday. We'll say it again today. That like Rabbi Yossi, because he holds, because Kal Gerim is not a Kal. The Pasuk says, well, Yav Mamzer Kal Hashem doesn't apply to Gerim, because Gerim are not in the Kal of Hashem. Therefore, a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeris, which we said that's a way for a Mamzer to marry somebody today, marry a Ger. Ragmul Kol Yam Esrogaya, but everybody pelted him with their Esrogim there, because there were a lot of Gerim in that community. Amar Ava, maybe that's because we saw the other day also that Mechuza was not within the regular borders of Bavel for good Yichus, but there were a lot of Gerim there. What sense does it make? You know, that's real smart. You're darshaning something that's going to make the gerim feel bad. In a place where there's a lot of gerim, you're going to darshan something which is going to make them feel bad, meaning telling them they can marry mamzerim because they're not really in the kahal of Hashem. That's not that's not a positive thing. You don't want to go. It's like
it's better than nothing.
Yeah, well, better than nothing. Yeah, but it makes them feel bad. No, well, they could marry Yisraelis also.
They can marry another
Ger. They can marry a Ger, and they could also marry regular Yisrael. Right. A Ger can marry Yisrael. A Ger is allowed to marry any Jewish person. The point is, by saying you're allowed to marry a Mamzer, it shows you're not even in the Kal. That was a put down to them. It's not a good idea. It's like going telling the coal miners we're going to stop the coal industry, right? It's not such a good idea. Differently, he said, Ger Mutar B'Kahanis, which is also what we just said before. Ger is allowed to marry a Bas Kohen. Tanu B'Shiroi, so they covered him with silk. In other words, they were nice to him. They did good things. Hadar Darsh, and then once he told him that good thing, Darsh Lu Ger Mutar Mamzeris, Ger is also Mutar Mamzeris. So he also said something, that wasn't as complimentary. Amalei Afsidu L'Kamai, so you've ruined the first thing you said. First you told us something good, that we can marry a Bas Kohen. Now you tell us we can marry a Mamzer as if we're not really in Kal Hashem. I've done good for you. You can marry whoever you want. A Ger has got the best of everything. He can marry a Bas Kohen, the top of the line. He could also marry a Mamzer. Okay. A Ger Mutar Mekanis, like we said yesterday. Mutar Mamzeris. A Ger is allowed to marry Kohen. A Bas Kohen, he can marry Mamzeris. Mutar Mekanis, lo ezek sheres l'nas l'psulim. As we said, the psulim that a Kohen cannot marry, like a Chalala or Zona or a Shifcha or freed Shifcha because she's a Zona, or a Mamzer for that. That's not a Mamzer because Mamzer goes both ways. But a Chalal or a Eved Meshuchar or a Gioris, that's a Gioris, that's what I was looking for, that a Kohen cannot marry them, but the opposite is true. A Bas Kohen could marry them. Mutar Mamzeris Krib Yossi, and a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeris like words of Yossi, because a Ger Kal Gerim Lok Rikal, so this is Lo Yavam Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, that means the regular Kahal of Kohen believing Yisrael, not of Gerim. So this is Shalom, and we've shown him, we say that a Ger could marry a Mamzeris, okay, a Ger can, or a Giorit can marry a Mamzer, right? How far down does it go? In other words, what about the next generation? What their kids are going to be like. So some say that it applies to Gerim all the way down. Some say it's only if a Ger marries a Gioris. Then they say, yes, but once a Ger marries a Bas Yisrael, even though normally we go by patrilineal lineage in terms of what they are, right? We said when a kosher Jew marries a kosher Jew, father's a Kohen, the kid's a Kohen. Father's a Levi, goes according to the father, right? When a Goy marries another Goy, it also goes according to the father. that's when it comes to those issues. But it could be that when a ger marries a bas yisrael, the child cannot marry.
What's
a
mamzer and a ger? What's the child? A mamzer marries a ger.
So a mamzer marries a ger. The kid's a mamzer, right? The kid's a mamzer. The kid's a mamzer. A mamzer always goes because we said it goes according to the psul when they're allowed to get married, right? We said back in the Samach Vav Amid Beis, the Mishnah said, "Komakum sheish kedushin ve'ein aveira havlad holach achar azocher ve'izeh kanas leviyesh nasor." Right? "V'chomakum sheish kedushin ve'yesh aveira havlad achar pogum ve'izeh almar l'kain gadol." Because that's an aveira. Then he said. So maybe that's not really included in that case, but because there's some aveira involved in the sense that there was that to make the mamzer there was an aveira. But at points it goes according to the pogum. So if a ger marries a mamzer, a ger is allowed to marry a mamzer, or a mamzer can marry a mamzer can marry a gyoris, but the kid be a mamzer. If a ger marries a gyoris, what is that kid? If a ger marries a gyoris, is the kid still like a family of gerim? And could the kid marry a mamzer? That's already a shaila in the Rishonim. All right, Elu Hain Shtuki. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a
Israel. Right. So they're Israeli, but the question is, does the gerus still go down so that the child could also marry a mamzer? That's a shaila. We would probably assume not. That only the first generation, the one who converted himself, can marry a mamzer, or he or she. Right, he or she can marry a mamzer. But what about the child? But there are shittas who say that all the way down, the gerim could always marry a mamzer. Yeah. All the way down. Is that their children could always marry.
Probably,
such
probably a, all have some.
Well, maybe they can marry a mamzer. We don't know, right? Maybe, as we said today, we don't know who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer.
Yeah.
All right, so the Mishnah talked about two kinds of babies of unknown lineage, we'll call them. One was a shtuki, meaning we know the mother is. But when the kid says Papa, Papa, the mother says Shh, we don't know who that is, right? So we know who the mother is. Now, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, Kohanim and Levim Yisraelim, as we all know, can marry one another, right? We also know that we just said that a ger can marry a bas kohen too, but a kohen cannot marry a gyoras, right? So Kohanim and Levim mutarim avzeh. Levim and Yisraelim and Chalalim and Gerim Chirim also mutar avzeh, right? A ger can marry a bas a levi, a yisraelis, whatever. No problem there. Or even a levi can marry a gyoras, or a shifra, or a shifra a meshuchreret, or a chalala. But then he said, what about those other guys? Gerim and charira and mamzerim and asim shtuki vasufi, they're all allowed to marry one another. That means a person of unknown lineage can only marry somebody in that group of bad lineage. Like another mamzer and sin, that kind of stuff, but they can't marry a Jew. Now we're going to talk about that now. Yeah.
Okay.
Where does it say that? Yeah. In the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kol Shumakar, wait, where does it say? Read it. Are you reading the Mishnah?
Yeah.
Yeah, where does it say Mutar and Lavakal?
Davar Torah Shtuki Kasher.
Wait, where are you reading now?
We didn't see that.
Where are you reading now?
Bet.
Oh, you're reading in the Gemara?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get there. We're going to say that now. Wait.
You just start
with it. No, I was reading the Mishnah. Yeah. Eilu hein shtuki kol shemakir, right? So, what is a shtuki? No, we're going to, Gemara's going to explain that. What is a shtuki? Shtuki is that we know the mother, we don't know the father. Omarava. Dvar Torah shtuki kosher. We said in the Mishnah that a shtuki cannot marry a regular Yisrael, right? Mishnah said, I was reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah back in Samachta said that what? That Geiri v'charuri mamzeri nesini shtuki v'asufi kul mutar l'azavazeh lo Yisrael v'lo Levi. The Mishnah says a shtuki cannot marry a person of unknown lineage. The fathers cannot marry Yisrael. So, what does it mean, the unknown lineage? A Suffolk baby is a mamzer. We don't know who the father is, right? Okay. So what is the question over here? So the Mishnah says, you understand? Mishnah says that a Levi in Israel can marry a ger or a evich meshuchrar or a halal, fine, but they're full Jews, right? They're full, I mean, Jews, and they're not pasul. But the question of unknown lineage, a shtuki and a sufi, again, a shtuki means we don't know the father's, a sufi means He was abandoned. We find the child. We don't know who the father or the mother is. Very common, you know, somebody would have a child out of wedlock or something would happen. They would take the kid, deposit him at the rabbi's door and run away. Or they couldn't feed the kid or whatever it was, right? So we're going to talk about abandoned kids also. That's going to be a discussion. But now let's talk about the Mishnah. Mishnah said those people cannot marry regular Yisraelim. Okay. Omer Rav Sarava says, Mina Torah, Dvar Torah, Shtuki Kosher. The truth is that a Shtuki, what is Shtuki? Loya de Mia Av, the Hom? Okay. Shtuki could really marry a regular Jew. Why? My time. Rov Ksheir Metzla. Most people. We're talking about, we know the mother. The mother is a single woman. She's not married, right? And she has a child here. We don't know who the child came from. Well, the odds are she's not married, right? We know she's not married. We know who the mother is, so she's not married. If she's married, that would be a different problem. But she's not married. So what's the problem? So it's not a mamzer. Why could the kid be a mamzer? Either she slept with a mamzer, or she slept with her brother, right? That's most people in the world are not mamzerim or her brother or her family members, right? Rov chaymetzlo, mi apsulin letzlo, a few people that mamzerim and family members. The azla in ligabah, so if she went to them, called the parsh mirpash, we assume that what? If they went to her, they came to her house. So wait, let me ask you. So let's say there's 8 billion people in the world, right? Okay, so 7.999999 billion are not mamzerim and are not her family members, right? So the odds are that the kid is a kosher kid. So the kid's like, we don't know who the father is, but the kid's kosher, and therefore you should be able to marry him. These are little gabal called the Barash Mimparash. Mayam, what are you going to say? Dilma Ozli Gabal. The rule is, let's say she went to them. She went to that guy's house that impregnated her, right? She went to that guy. And the rule is that even though the odds are that it came from somebody who was not a mamzer, not a family member, but the rule is called the kavua kamechsa mechsam. If she went to his house, it's like 50-50. Okay, so even if it's 50-50, how like kavua, but called kavua kamechsa dummy, a Torah, Malia, mamzer. So what? Let's say it's a 50-50 chance that this kid is a mamzer. Not because he came from she was a married woman, simply because maybe she slept with a mamzer or with somebody who was related to her, something like that, right? So let's say it's a 50-50 chance. So what is a 50-50 chance? We learned before that a Suffolk mamzer is allowed to marry a Jewish person, right? A Suffolk mamzer can marry a mamzer, right? So what? So what's the problem, Moshe? That's what you're asking. Why did the Mishnah say that a shtuki lo yachol litchaten im a Jewish person, right? Why did you say can't marry? Why? What's the worst that it's a 50-50 chance, right? 50, maybe it's a mamzer. So what? Lo yachol mamzer vadi, ha vadi mamzer safik yavakal vadi hu lo yachol, and also vadi hu lo yavakal ha bakal safik vadi bakal vadi hu lo yavakal. Also, he can't come into vadikal bakal safik yavakal. In other words, he's allowed to marry a mamzer. If he said that a mamzer vadi is not allowed to be vadikal, but a mamzer safik is. And even a mamzer suffolk is allowed to live with a suffolk. A mamzer means a mamzer is allowed to live with a suffolk mamzer. So therefore, technically, this shtuki, the way we don't know the father, is allowed to marry a regular jumata mamzer shtuki apostle. Why do you say shtuki is not allowed? You know why they say that? Because since we don't know the father is, there's a chance that he'll marry his own sister, right? This shtuki will marry his own sister, because we don't know who his father is. So maybe his father, maybe the girl that he meets is also the daughter of that guy. Says the Gemara Elamiata Shtuki. If that's the case, what are you saying? That a Shtuki, he's a Suffolk Mamzer, really? Technically, Minatora, he's allowed to marry a Jewish person, because, well, you have a Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to marry B'Kal Hashem. So what's the reason why the rabbi said, though, in a Mishnah, that a shtuki shouldn't marry a Jewish girl? Why? Because maybe he'll marry his own sister. Elamiata shtuki shtukas lo yisa. So if that's the case, a shtuki should not be able to marry. So what do you, who could a shtuki marry? A mamzer, a Suffolk mamzer, right? We said a gay or a thing like that. That he can marry. So if that's the case, but he shouldn't marry a regular Jew, because we're afraid he might happen upon his sister. That's the case, a shtuki shouldn't marry another shtukas, Shema Yisa Chosema, because there also may be sister. So maybe he'll marry his own sister. So Zimora says, Kolkiani Ozli Bashtukas. Are you going to assume that all the girls, let's say, born out of wedlock, we don't know if fathers came from the same father? That's pretty far-fetched to say that. So you can't say a shtuki shouldn't be able to marry a shtukas. You could say a shtuki shouldn't marry a shtukas. The Gemara says, if that's the case, okay, fine. So a shtuki should be able to marry a shtukas, because you're not going to assume they all came from the same father. But bas shtukas lo yisa. Okay, it's not likely to say that that this boy and girl can't have the same father. But let's say a bas shtukis. What does it mean, a bas shtukis? A shtukis, we don't know what she was, right? But she married a Yisrael, or she married somebody who she was allowed to marry, right? Like another shtuki. Their child is not a shtukis, right? Their child is known. It's known who the parents are. So bas shtukis lo yisa, but maybe he shouldn't marry, a shtuki shouldn't marry the daughter of a shtukis, shami yisa chosim, because they're also, maybe he's marrying a sister of his father, meaning, how did that happen? That he was born out of wed, like he didn't know who his father was. But that guy who, that father who impregnated somebody, and this son was the result of that, now married a shtukis, that married shtukis, and this is the daughter of that shtukis, so maybe it's still his sister. He's a shtuki, and the girl that he marries is a daughter of a shtukis. And it's also possible that Shema is a chosim yavav. Why don't you say that? In other words, so therefore, you're saying that maybe a shtuki shouldn't be able to marry a bas shtukis, and that seems unlikely. It seems that he should be able to marry these things. Mishnah says he can marry shtukis, mamzeres, things like that. Elo lo shchicha. The answer is, why aren't you concerned about that? Because it's not shchich. Rashi says either it's not shchich that he's going to, you know, hit his, you know, come upon his sister, or the whole concept of shtiki is lo shchich. In other words, the whole concept of a child that we don't know who the father is, of unknown lineage, is not shchich. So therefore, hachanami lo shchich. So here also, it's not shchich. In other words, why do we say, like Moshe said, why don't you say that a shtuki should be able to marry against Ritz? What's the problem? That it's a suffolk mamzer. So what? A suffolk mamzer is allowed to marry kal Hashem. And a mamzer vaday is allowed to marry. A suffolk mamzer. So, what's the problem? So let him. Why do you say there's shtuki? You don't know his father. He shouldn't be able to marry. What's the chance that he might marry his sister? It's not shchich that there's shtuki, and it's not shchich that he's going to marry his sister. So elo. So why did he say elamal also biyuchsin? When it comes to yuchsin, they put her on a higher level. In other words, shtuki shouldn't marry Jews. Technically, a mamzer suffolk is allowed to. But the rabbis made a special rule, and they said that, you know, if there's shtuki out there, let them marry their own kind. Let them marry mamzerim, charirim, gerim, things like that. Don't marry regular Yisrael. They made a special, they raised it a notch. The Amar Rava, another thing that he said when it comes to asufi. Now, we talked till now about a shtuki is you don't know the fathers, you know who the mother is. You know the mother, you don't know the father. Asuf means he's an abandoned kid. You don't know who the father is and the mother. Amar Rava, Dvar Torah, asufi also is kosher. Why? Now, we don't, my time, Eishas Ish Bavala Tolu. What's the concern here? In the case of Asufi, we knew who the mother is, and the mother was a single woman. The only concern was maybe she slept with the moms, or she slept with her brother-in-law, or her brother, or some other family member, causing this. Your moms are, that's unlikely. And even if you say it's a 50-50 chance, so what, it's mutter? So it's only because of Malo Yisuf Yuchsin. When it comes to Asufi, it's also kosher. What's the concern here? Well, maybe this was maybe the mother was a married woman who committed adultery. My time, Eishas Ish Bavalatol. Even if she committed adultery, What do we say? The odds are that it came from the father. If you know that a woman committed adultery, okay, she has to leave her husband and all that, but what is a child, a mamzer? A woman committed adultery, and then she has a child a year later. We assume it came from the father, from her regular husband, Roba as well. So you assume it came from the father. Mike, what are you going to assume? That's only if she's living with her husband at the same time. Let's say the husband's in jail, or let's say he went overseas on a trip, Or he's not married. They're only betrothed. She's not living with him yet. So then, and she had a child. Then it's probably adultery. The kid's a mamzer. Yes, but there's also kivin de kipnuya. So we don't know for sure that the mother of this child was married. Also possible she wasn't married at all. The ikanami, the machmas ravam. There's also many that abandoned the kid because of legitimate reasons. I knew a kid in St. Louis who was adopted. He was an adopted kid. He came from a poor family, and he was raised by a wealthy family. The parents were destitute, and they gave it to because they wanted the kid to grow up. They knew the parents. I'm just saying, but the point is that people give up a child out of desperation when they can't feed the child because of ravon, because of hunger.
We don't know who the parents are.
So here we don't know the parents. So the point is that that you're saying, we don't know who the parents are at all, right? When this kid's born in a Jewish community, we don't know who the parents are. Could be the kid's mom's. It can go both ways. In other words, whatever you say, maybe the kid was a mother who committed adultery, but if she was a mother who committed adultery, the odds are it went according to the husband. Maybe the husband was in jail or overseas or she wasn't married to him. It's also possible that she was a single woman. We don't know. So therefore, Avi Palga Palga, therefore it's still a 50-50 chance. Anyway, you look at it, there's no reason to say that it's more likely that the kids are mamzer than not. But Torah only have mamzer kal Hashem. A mamzer is not a mamzer vaday hu lo yavo. Ha mamzer safik yavo bekal. Yavo. Bekal vaday hu lo yavo. He can't come to the vavadi. Ha bekal safik yavo. So what do we say technically? So if he's a safik mamzer, so what? You should be able to marry a safik mamzer. Matam or masufi posel. Why do they say that a sufi is posel to marry Jewish people? Shemi sachosam yavo. The same thing, because maybe he'll marry his sister from his father's side. Right? Shemi Isa Achosa me ovid. Right? Did I skip a line? Right. Umata Masufi Puzzle. Why do you say Masufi is puzzle to marry what? To marry a Jewish person. Shemi Isa Achosa me ovid. Why? Because Achosa me, why not Achosa me imo? Right? Achosa me imo? Because he knows who's, when you're talking about a Sufi marrying a Jewish woman, so he knows who the mother-in-law is, right? He's marrying this Jewish woman. She's not a Sufi. He knows who the mother-in-law is. So the odds are you're going to say that they had the same mother. He knows who the mother-in-law is. Yeah, it's far-fetched to say that he had the same mother. But maybe the concern is that maybe they're the same father, because he doesn't know who his father is. And maybe this father was also the one who married, who's also going to be his father. Maybe his father and his father-in-law are one and the same. So if that's the case, let's say they're both unknown. A Sufi can't marry an Asufis, because maybe they came from the same mother or the same father, right? So the Gemara says, Kolhani Shadi Vazli, are you going to assume that they both came from the same mother? In other words, this mother threw out all her children. Or if it's from the father, that this father fathered all the Asufis around, Kolhani Shadi Vazli. So the Gemara says, "Basa Sufi Lisa shouldn't marry the daughter of a Sufi. The daughter was okay. The mother didn't know where she came from. But he shouldn't say Shemi Isa Choso. Here also, maybe he'll marry his sister. How is that? Because his father first sired him when he out of wedlock, and then he married an Asufi and had this daughter. It's the same thing we had before. So he shouldn't marry a Basa Sufi. El Sheikh, the answer is why do you not prohibit him from marrying a Basa Sufi? Because it's not Shriach. It's not Shriach that these things happen. Achanami lo Shriach. El Amal Sufi is the same thing we said before. So the idea is that technically an Asufi or a Shtuki, the worst is it's a Suffolk Mamzer. And a Suffolk Mamzer allowed to have a Kavashem. But Mali Shriach, we said to let them not marry into the Jewish people. The truth is, though, that a Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to. We said a Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to have a Kav Shem. But still, we said that it's better to avoid them. And it's better to avoid it if you can. And by a Sufi and a Shtuki, where there's obviously some question over here, we say better to avoid. Om Rabba Barafuna, Matsumo. Let's say, now we talk about this, a Sufi is something we said is an abandoned kid. So when a kid's abandoned, why did they abandon the kid? Could be because of out of hunger, right? Could be out of desperation, but could also very well be because the kid wasn't kosher and they didn't want to, start. The kid was born out of wedlock, there was some problem. Out of wedlock doesn't mean the kid's not kosher, he's not a mamzer, he's a pogum. But the question is, what is considered abandoned? We say the kid's abandoned, we said he shouldn't marry Jewish people. It's only a suffix, right? Technically, if he married somebody, the child wouldn't be a mamzer, the product there wouldn't be a mamzer. But we make a chumrah. However, let's say you found the kid circumcised. Then we assume that the kid was not abandoned. Not abandoned, right? Ain bo mishum asufi. The lav the kosher lav itarcha beilam. If not kosher, they wouldn't have, if they bothered to malim, if the kid wasn't kosher, was a mamzer or something like that, and then knew there was a problem, they would just abandon. If they gave him a bris already, it's probably they didn't mean to abandon. Maybe they were hoping that a rich family, maybe then as they left him there. That's the question, is he abandoned or was he left there like Moshe Rabbeinu, in the water, because they wanted somebody to find him? That's the question. Similarly, Mesholte Hadome, let's say his limbs were aligned properly. In other words, they took care after birth in those days. They used to straighten out the kid a little bit. And as they took a tircha, also in Mishum Mishab Mishra, let's say they rubbed him with oil, they put rouge on him. And as they did some, they gave him some medical treatment. Rami Chumr, they put some beads on him. Toli Pitka, they gave him a kamiya, an amulet, either in writing or a toli kamiya, or a kamiya with some herbs that they would use. Also, when they did some medical process and they tried to help the kid afterwards, you could tell that he wasn't abandoned, but simply maybe he was left there either by accident or out of poverty or whatever, under duress. It's not considered a Sufi, and therefore the kid could marry a Jewish person. Toli Bedikle, let's say he was They found him on a tree, hung on a tree. If an animal could get to it, yesh mishum asufi. And as they left him there, because let the kid die. In other words, that they didn't want anything to do with him because of moms or whatever. They're embarrassed. Then he's in a suf. Then more questions about him. And again, even though technically he could marry a Jewish person, we're machmer. Imlav, if he was high up on a tree, then maybe the parents just put him there, hoping that a good family would come. They were trying to protect him. Imlav ein mishum asufi. Zardasa, if it was on a sore bush, again, it was believed that Imsimcha, if it was near the city, yesh mishum asufi. Why? Because then it was believed that those had demons, shadim inside. Imlav, if it's not near the city, yesh mishum asufi. Then there's no concern about asufi. In other words, if they put him in a place which was dangerous, then the odds are they meant to. Rashi says over here, Klol Shel Davar, Rashi is a little bit lower. Klol Shel Davar, Komak M'sheish L'Havan, if you understand the Ladas Misa Shechir, they sent him there to die, V'lo Chosel Av Yesh M'mishim Asufi. Be Knishta, if they put him in a shul, Smichta L'masa, near the city, V'shchicha Be'ram, people come to Eim M'mishim Asufi. Then they were hoping that some good family would find me. Lav Yesh M'mishim Asufi. Amar Amemer. Hai Pira, the Sufli, Yesh M'mishim Asufi. Let's say they found him in a pit. They used to put... where they would put the seeds of figs or dates, whatever, for animals to chew on, the animals to eat. So if they would find them in there, yesh bar masufi, because they left them in a place where animals feed, that's not a good place. Charifta nara ein bar masufi. But let's say they found them in the swiftness, the current of the river, like Moshe Rabbeinu, as they put them in a little cradle like Moshe Rabbeinu, and they put him in where the current is, where the big ships would pass him. The idea was they put him in a safe manner, hoping that people passing by ships would gather up the kid and take care of him. Then he's not considered a Sufi and he can marry a Jew. Pashri, if it was shallow water where ships can't go, yesh b'mishum asufi, then the concern is they meant to kill him. Tzidu Rosh Hashanah, if they found him on the sides of Rosh Hashanah, Eim Masufi, because that's where people might find him. Rosh Hashanah, if you threw him right in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, where he could get trampled on by horses and people, then Yesh Rosh Hashanah, you have to be concerned that they meant to kill him. Amar Rava, Uvishnei Rava and Eim Masufi. In the years of famine, then there's no concern about a Sufi, because then people left him something because they couldn't feed him. They didn't mean to abandon him. So the Gemara says, Hadar Rava, Haya, which case is Rava going on? Eileim Rosh Hashanah. If it's in Rosh Hashanah, I didn't say Rav and Kotlei, just because say Rav, that's negligence. In other words, it's one thing, they couldn't feed him, but you don't throw him in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, you're killing him. So why would it make a difference if Shnei Ravim? Ve'elat, Tzidu Rosh Hashanah, it's going Tzidu Rosh Hashanah, so Ma'ir Shnei Ravim, if it's a Tzidu Rosh Hashanah, we said there's no Sufi there, because they left, that's a safe place to put a kid, that somebody's going to find him. So why do you have to talk about Shnei Ravim? I feel about Shnei, even if it's not a family year, the same thing would apply. It's not considered a sufi. Elikiyat medrava aha. Rava's halacha about Rava is on the following thing. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zavde, Amar Rav. Rava was said on the following memra of these rabbis. Kozman shebeshuk, aviv ima nemanalav. If he's found in the street in the market, and the father or mother comes and says, "That's my kid," it's believed. Nesaf menashuk, but once he has a claw, once he was taken out of the place, he was found. People found him there and moved somewhere else. Then there was a call, there was a rumor went out that he's on a sufi, he's considered a sufi. Ain't a mono. Then they're not believed to say he's my kid. In the street, he's believed to say he's their kid before anybody plucked him up. That's like immediate, you know. Say, this is my kid, I just left him here for a second. You know, I went into the store for a second, he's his kid. But once he was gathered up, he's not believed in my time. Amrav, a whole Vyaslav Shem Sufi, once a rumor went out that he's in a Sufi, he has Lachav Sufi, he shouldn't marry regular Jewish people. But Amravim, Rava said, Uvishnei Ravim, but in the famine years, Afal Pisha Neslek Menashuk, even though he was gathered from the Shuk, Avim Menamalav, but in the famine years, even though he was gathered up from the Shuk, they're believed, right? Shahar ben Nishlochim, in the famine years when a lot of people left out there, L'rotz Chum L'posa Machbazitzes, just because of the rumor went out, the Chum didn't want to pass it, because in the years of famine, there were a lot of abandoned kids, unfortunately, and they were good Jewish kids, except the parents couldn't feed them. So just because a rumor went out that that the kid was a Sufi, he didn't want to pass them. Amar Chista, Shlosha Nemonim La'alter, there are three cases where you're believed immediately, but not later on. They believe immediately is at the time that, like, you find it right now, it's found. If later on you report it, it's not. Elohim, these are them. Asufi, the case we just said, Asufi, when the kid's out in the street, he says, it's my kid, then he's believed, but not later on, not once he's pulled off the street. Chaya is a midwife, we'll talk about that case in a minute. Upoteres chavrosa, and one who poters her friend, meaning who absolves her friend of a suffolk of tumah. We'll describe the case in a minute. Asufei haramim, we just said the case of Asufei, right? Asufei is a case where if you find the kid in the street, and that's in the Seder Rishus Rabim, where he can be claimed, and the parents say, this is my kid. Hey, it's your kid, you left him there, you know. I left him with the door closed, they left him in the car, or whatever. It's his kid. But once the cops came and took him away, or he was moved somewhere else, then there's a shame that he's in Asufei, then the parents aren't believed anymore. In other words, you can raise the kid, but the kid can't marry a Jewish person. Okay, Chaya, what's the case of a midwife? The Tanya, Chaya Meslamer Zay Yatsurishim Zay Yatsushani. Big nafkamina, if a kid's a Bechor or not, who's going to get the double share? Who's first, who's not? So how did the mother doesn't know. The father's outside smoking a cigar. Who's going to know? The midwife, the midwife, the doctor is going to know. So the midwife is believed, even though it's one person, is believed to say this is the first one, that's the second one. Now we know Eidechon and Bisura. This is a question of Mamnus, basically, who's going to be the Bechor. So he says he's believed he has the Sheni. But Medvar, Morim Shalayatsev Chazra, that's only if she didn't go out for a smoke. But once she left the room, so it's possible that the kid was born. You know, the kid came out, and by the time she came back, the kid was born. She wasn't really sure. Again, that's a case where you believe at b'shas maaseh at the time there. Like if it's right at the beginning where the kid's being born, yeah, they believe. Later on, you not believe. But let's remember, huchska ala omda nemanas imlav enemas. If there is a chazaka, there was a status quo. In other words, there was a status quo was that she was at her post, then she's believed. Imlav, if she wasn't at her post, then it might not be. What's the difference between Rabbi Lezer and Tanakama? Ikimanaya the Hadar Apa, if she turned her face back, if she turned her face away. Rashi says, Imuchsaga alamas can enfarsh the lo Hadra Apa nemanas. And if she stayed by her post, she didn't turn back. So Kondra Blaz, if she just turned her face, she didn't stay by her post because she might have missed it in the second that she turned away. According to the Tanakama, if she left the room, then she's not believed. But if she stayed in the room, even if she turned her face away, she could be believed. Okay, so there's another case where you're only believed at the beginning, not later on. Well, the last case is Poteres Chavrosa. If she potters up her friend, in other words, you are not, it's like... It's like an alibi, or, you know, you are alibied out. It's not you. It's not you, it's me, you know. But she potters up the friend. What's that? Ma'i, that's not. Shalosh nashim treshenas mita achas. Three women were sleeping in one bed. You know, like the beds were pushed together. They were sleeping right next to each other. V'nim tzastam tachas achsmen. And there was blood found under one of them on the sheet. And you don't know which one is tummy. So you have to assume they're all tummy, right? Kulon tzmeis, they're all tummy, right? But Gachas man, let's say one of them checked themselves, and just made she found herself to be tummy. She checked herself internally, and she found herself tummy. He tummy have a coincidence. Then she's tummy, and the rest of them are tar. However, Amar Rav Chista Shabbat Gaatzma b'kishirei vesas. She had to check herself. Shir vesas means immediately, meaning the shmata, the cloth that she checked herself was there. And as soon as they saw the dam, she quickly checked herself and she found the dam. Then we assume it's hers. You checked it afterwards, no good. Checked it afterwards, maybe the dam came afterwards. Maybe the dam that they found on the sheet was from one of the other ones. So that's also an example of if it's right away, you're believed. Later on, you're not believed. The same thing with the Asufei, the same thing with the midwife testifying about who was born first. Only if she's there right away, later on, you're not believed. And the same thing with this case of the finding dam. Tanur Banan. Nemanos Chaylomer Zekom Zalevi Zenasim Zemamzer. Let's say there were four or five women giving birth at the same time. One was Ashes Cohen, one was Ashes Levi, one was Ashes Sin, one was Asha Mamzer. Now, we don't know. They were all put under, whatever. So you believe the midwife to say, this is the Mamzer, this is the Kohen. If there was no objection, right? There was no protest, there was no appeal. But if somebody appealed it and somebody said, no, made a mistake, ain't a modest. And I imagine a case like that, there would be a lot of appeals, right? One person complained, one person said not. In order to have a valid appeal, you have to have two people who said that it's wrong. How do you know? If she was there, who are you? You have two people, okay. Ella Iratray, Taka means two people. If two people said, no, she's wrong, they have evidence to the contrary. They have witnesses, whatever, that saw it. Different. You want to now pass somebody on it. What's the chazak over here? There's no chazaka. She's the one saying, this is a kohen, this is a levi, this is a mamzer, this is an asin. So therefore, even one person protesting could be a valid protest. If nobody protests, then we take her word for it. That's one ne'eman, that a woman, that a chay is believed to say who was, you know, who is whom. Another kind of ne'eman is ne'eman balmekach lomer zemacharti lomacharti is the girsa. Versus that two people are fighting over an object, right? They both bought, let's say, this esrog or whatever, this talus. And each one said, I bought it. So the seller is believed to say, I sold it to him, not to medvar mor bisman shemekom. That's only when it's still in his hand. As we'll see in a second, who paid for it? The answer, they both paid for it. And he has an obligation, if the money's still in his hand and the item's in it, he has an obligation to take it from the person who he agreed to, not the person he didn't agree to. Otherwise, he gets a misha parah. You know, your kinyan is only with mashiach, right? But if you agree to a deal and then you go, you renege on a deal, the chum said, whoever, the barshim who paid back the rasham from doing the bad will pay back the guy who goes back on his word. Even though technically you could go back on your word, there's no deal hasn't been consummated, but you get a misha parah. So as long as the item is in the seller's hand, he has an obligation to determine who really he made the deal with. So therefore, he's believed. Let's say he's out of the picture already. He says they went out of the store. He sold it to one guy. And outside the store, they're fighting over it. He's out of the picture now. And he's not believed. Says the Gemara, let's say who he took the money from. According to what Rashi learns, this long Tosfos disagrees with it. Even if it's after the fact, after the guys left the store, you say he's not believed. What do you mean he's not believed? See who he took the money from. If he took the money, there's two guys, Reuven and Shimon, fighting over it. If Reuven gave him the money, even if the guy, it's out of his hands already, obviously if he took the money from Reuven, he sold it to Reuven. Why do you say, if it's out of his hands, he's not believed? Why? He actually took money from both of them. One I took it willingly, I agreed to. And one I was forced. Rashi says, right, Yadu Alano. We don't know who he took it. We don't know who he took it from. Or maybe he's confused himself now. He doesn't know who he took it from. Makes sense saying Yadu Alano. We don't know. We don't know. And maybe and the question is if he knows. If he knows, so why? But it, once it's past the when he's no longer in the picture because he sold it already, he's not thinking about who he has to give it to. And as he obviously returned money to one of them, right? But you want to believe him? He's not sure now. Either we're not sure or he's not sure. Nobody's sure. We don't know who he took. We don't know who gave the money willingly or not. As long as it's still in his hands, then he's mocked, but he knows who gave it to him willingly or not. Once it's out of his hands, either we don't trust him or we don't know who it is, and therefore, and he's not obligated to know. Therefore, he gave back the money. He assumed that the one who forced him into it was giving back his money, and he sold it to the other guy. So here's another example of what that a person is believed to say. B'shas Meisen, then in Balmekach Lomar Macharte. I sold this one, not that one. But afterwards, once the Mekach is not in his hand, he's not believed anymore. Tomorrow, Mitzvah, we'll see another case. A Dayan is believed to say, I was Mezakeh this one, and I wasn't Mezakeh the other one. What's the case talking about? We'll see tomorrow, Mitzvah. Tomorrow, regular time, 5:30. Sleeping in.